Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
For the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here as well. Bates is back at the studio.
Yep, he is.
Do we know why he's at the studio?
Can I say?
I don't know. That's
I mean,
why
we know, but that's up to you if you want to say it, but we do know.
Ryan got into a fender bender.
Yeah.
That's
Ryan
all did?
That's all I know.
Was it his fault?
It's being disputed.
What'd you say?
It's being disputed.
Oh, really?
By the other driver, yes.
So they're arguing about it on the side of the road?
Probably.
Oh, so police reporting all of that?
Oh, yeah.
So some facts are being debated?
Yeah, so when I talked to him like a half hour ago, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be there. And I was like, sorry, Sean. Sean, I haven't told you that yet. I hope Ryan did.
So what did...
Sean just found out he's working till 6.
Oh, where did great. Ryan's... Where did Ryan's... like, where did he get hit?
He said the guy was turning and turned into him. But the other guy is saying that Ryan was on his phone.
That feels like a terrible argument. How would he know? How can you prove it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Ryan's going to be on the right side of history here.
Unless
Judge Jeremy and Joe. Judge Joe. He says that Ryan's in the right here.
Yes. Unless you could prove that a text message was sent as the accident.
Well, just because someone's on their phone doesn't mean you could turn into the lane and hit them.
Great point, B-Mac.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah, I mean, unless he was on his phone and then ran a red light or something, that obviously changed things. But if he's just chilling in his lane, you can't just run into him.
Why are you way louder than us?
I don't know.
So much louder than us, right? Was he louder than us? We're at St. Arnold Brewing.
I think your ears are just sensitive.
713-780-ESPN. Is Brian louder than us? But we are at St. Arnold. Great on the Locked On Astros guy. What are you doing here?
What?
What's going on? What is happening?
I can't watch the game?
Which game are you watching?
Oh, that's a Jake Asman move.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it.
We're doing live radio in Houston, and you're watching Wrigley Field camera?
Oh, that's a Jake Asman move, bro.
Come on, man.
No, it's not. I'm not producing YouTube shorts during a show. I'm just watching the game.
You have to pay attention to what we're telling you.
I'm watching. I'm listening.
But we're giving away a $50 gift card to St. Arnold during our show. All you have to do is come up to us during a break. You have to be wearing Astro gear, and then tell us the year that St. Arnold was founded. You can tell me whatever because I'm not 100% sure. Do you know?
I do know.
Okay, good.
There's a hint on my hat.
So tell us, you should have said that, and tell us the year that St. Arnold was founding, and then you have to answer one Astro trivia question. So that's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. Come up to us during the break. Tell us what year St. Arnold was founded. We'll ask you an Astro trivia question. You answer that correctly, and you're going to get a $50
gift card
to St. Arnold. Yep, there you go.
You did a great job changing my script.
Okay. Yeah.
I could tell you were rewriting it as you were going.
Well, yeah.
I wrote it for the Locked On Astros.
Yeah, it says
guys.
We are giving away a gift card during Jeremy and Joe. All you have to do is tell them during a break. So that would have sounded weird coming from me.
You're right.
So this is what we have to deal with here as talent at ESPN 97.5 is you get this copy and you just have to on the air, figure it out.
So you got to pivot.
You got to edit on the air.
Yeah, you just got to pivot away.
Yeah. So, anyways, today's gonna be a lot of fun. It's kind of it's gonna be very much a holiday show. I thought today was Friday, up until this morning.
I feel that.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a Friday type of show. It is also Astro opening day. So the Astros get started here in about 5 minutes. The TV's on right in front of us. We're in the beer garden at St. Arnold, an outstanding spot. Great spot for you to hang out with us. Great spot for you to watch the Astros. Great spot for you to have a cold beer. Great spot for you to enjoy fabulous food. I see you are already partaking in that. Brian's got something over there, too. Brian didn't drink.
It's a root beer.
Oh, they have good root beer here.
Yeah, they have very good root beer. Also good orange root beer. Soda.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Don't drink too much of that, though. You don't want to drive home after too much of that. And then some really, really good food as well. So come on, hang out with us. Of course, today, Sweet 16. I just came from the Toyota Center. It's already packed down there. It's a madhouse. It's a zoo. You have people going to the Astros game. You're seeing a lot of U of H gear down there. You're seeing a lot of Illinois gear, a lot of Iowa gear, a lot of Nebraska gear. Today's a lot of fun in the city of Houston. Opening day is always fun. You throw in the Sweet 16 on top of that. You got the Houston Open happening down the street. So this is a great day, I think, for the city of Houston. I love days like this because it's our fair city that's on display. It's the forefront of everything. And they always produce. They always show out. So I love days like today.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous for the people that are doing Astros and then Cougs, but also if you're doing the golf tournament first. What a great sports day that would be if you got the change. to go out and do all three things in one day?
Yeah, I mean, tiring.
It's a lot. It's tiring because you start early with golf, and then the Kooks don't play till 9.
Like, I wonder when the first tee time was. Probably 7?
Yeah, so you probably can't go to the first tee time.
That's a long day.
You got to go to like at least like the 8:39.
You're kind of a dog, though. If you go watch the Shell Houston Open at 7, you go watch the first tee time, which maybe 7:30. I'm not sure what it was. I didn't look. Then you go to Astros opening day at 3. As soon as that's done, you walk over to the Toyota Center, watch a basketball game or two, or half of, you know, a game and a half, depending on when the Astros game ends. Should end in time for tip-off, though, with the pace of play. Thank you, Robert Manfred. I think he had today in mind in Houston whenever he created the pitch clock.
Yeah, and he's all thinking
the,
of us.
He was thinking of, you know, if there's an opening day at 3 and there's a Sweet 16 matchup at 6:20, we should probably try to limit the span of time during a game.
Makes sense.
I think that's what he was trying to do. So it worked out in the long run. So, yeah, but a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It makes me hesitant to start our show on a sour note. But it's kind of the – I don't know if it's a lead story, actually. But it's just the most recent game that was played. Last night, Rockets go to overtime in Minnesota. No Anthony Edwards. A team that you're trying to, you know, battle with playoff positioning with. You come from way behind. You finish the game, the regulation, on this unbelievable run. Unbelievable run to force overtime. You begin overtime the same way that you started the end of regulation. You are roasting Minnesota, and then you blow a lead. You know the Rockets are 1-7 in overtime this year?
That's bad.
Did you know the Rockets are 4-9 in one-possession games this year?
That's also bad.
They play losing basketball.
Yeah,
whenever,
they do.
Whenever it's clutch time, in Clutch City, for goodness sake. They play losing basketball.
No, and it's been like that all year. I mean, from the beginning of the season, you look at their fourth quarter efficiency numbers. They haven't been good. They've been bad in clutch games all year. They've played in a ton of them, and a lot of them are in similar vein to last night where they're up big, but they're letting teams come back in. It's why what we talked about yesterday where Ime Udoka was frustrated that he has to play a 37-year-old or whatever Kevin Durant is these days in late-game minutes because you should be blowing these teams out. Last night's game, I don't know, like between like the Lakers loss, the Spurs loss, and last night's Timberwolves loss, it's probably the three worst losses of the season.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one's the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Because they're all bad.
It's also glossing over a really bad Denver loss,
yes,
too.
Yes. And you know what? And it's also time, I think, with the Rockets to not give them credit for the bad wins. Like they're winning games against bad teams, but they're doing it in a terrible way.
Like the Pelicans?
Yes. They're just playing bad basketball. It's not really fun to watch, to be honest. It's just a lot of ugliness.
This table is brilliant right here. They're drinking Pedialytes. That's smart. I like what you're doing there. Those
Pedialytes. Yeah, we have Electrolit. It's outside.
He's got some Pedialytes. He's about to go drink the bar. He's going to feel fine when he's done. Like, yeah. What a genius idea.
Yeah, one of our sponsors smart man out here, Electrolit, is out there, so you can go get some as well. So you can get some if you need some. Oh, he's about to throw you.
I got mommy's wrist. You have to be careful with me. But, no, I hate to be like, you know, I was right, you were wrong.
No, you didn't.
You're right. You're right. I don't hate to be that. I just felt like I had to say it. That's a successful BS challenge flag. Yeah, that is upheld. You're right. But this is another example where turnovers flat out kill you. And, you know, I'm not the only one saying it. Go listen to the postgame. Ime Udoka, we turned it over too much. Kevin Durant, I felt we lost the game because I missed the free throw and because I turned it over too much. Alpi Shingun, we turned it over too much. Look at the leaders in the NBA in turnovers. Rockets are in the bottom 5 last check. Look at what sparked the rally, an 8-second violation.
Crazy.
Sparking Minnesota's rally. And highlight culture was on full display again yesterday. And look, the Rockets had the basketball because there was that little foul on Rudy Gobert that led to the free throw, technical free throw. Rockets make the technical free throw. It's a tie game at the end of regulation. You have the ball, 7 seconds, whatever it was. What do you do in that spot? You take the final shot. You protect the ball. You take the final shot. You have Kevin Durant. It goes in. Yay, we celebrate. You don't. You go to overtime. Okay, no sweat, no big deal. What do the Rockets do? Kevin Durant throws it away. Minnesota comes back in a fast break. And Alpi Shingun makes a fabulous play, an unbelievable play. Goes up high, rejects it, sends it into overtime. He's got a bloody lip. It reminded me when Brian Cushing had his bloody nose. Like a memorable moment. Now, you know what I'm going to tell you? It should have never happened. It shouldn't have happened. You have to take care of the basketball. And that's like the whole highlight culture. Like, look, what a play by Alpi. And it was. It was. But how do you ignore the awful play that it was in the previous possession? And then whenever you lose a game in large part because you were sloppy with the ball. And look, maybe you win at the end of regulation. Maybe Kevin Durant is a hero yesterday if he takes care of the basketball. We never have the Alpi block, but you have a win. Like, I feel like these people rather see these highlight plays than actual winning basketball, and it's coming from a team that does not play winning basketball.
No, and you're right. And I do feel like last night there was a little bit of a different tone because they lost the game, that more people were upset with the turnovers. But to your point, and what we talked about yesterday, is it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter that you win or lose a game. You're making losing plays. You're making them all the time. It's why, at this point, no one should have any confidence in the Rockets getting out of the first round. Just being honest, like, they've played terrible in these moments. And again, last night, like you said, it was a great play by Alpi, but why are you in that position?
Should have been in the position.
You shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be the position. They play losing basketball.
And even, look, Kevin Durant, fifth all-time in scoring, but at the end of the game, you got to make your free throws. If Minnesota doesn't get lucky and knock the ball out of bounds, like, you got to make them. I feel like the Rockets missed those a lot, too.
Yeah, but they were, wasn't that like the first miss in 23 tries? Like, it's a little bit more difficult for me to, like, knock them when they're 22 for 23. Like, should he make the free throw? Yes. Will Kevin Durant say he should have made the free throw? Yes. Is Kevin Durant a great free throw shooter? Yes. But whenever they miss one in 23 tries, it's hard for me to be too upset about that.
No, you're right. But it's just it's in the clutch moment. It's just another lack of clutchness from the Rockets.
And where do you miss a shot whenever you're feeling it a little bit?
Yeah.
Miss it short.
Yeah.
That ball was never higher than 10 feet.
No, it's just it's a lot of bad. It's really baffling to me how this team can be so consistently bad with turnovers and never correct it, specifically KD. Like, he is one of the best players of all time, and he has had some of the worst turnovers on the Rockets this season, constantly.
Yeah. I have some examples of losing plays from yesterday's game.
Okay.
Because I like to have receipts. Like, I hate to just say things, and I hate when people do this. Like, they just say things, and then they don't have anything to support their argument. I think it's foolish. And I think if you're going to say things that are negative and maybe even controversial and goes against the grain and all that stuff, you need to have receipts to back it up. So I have just a few examples of some losing plays the Rockets made yesterday. We'll touch that on the other side. Ryan Spielbors. I don't think y'all spelled this right. Did y'all spell this right?
It was copied and pasted from the email we got. No. So,
well, I don't think his boss spelled it right. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe I'm the idiot. But Ryan Spielbors will join us. He's going to be the analyst for Apple TV tomorrow. Angels and Astros tomorrow will be on Apple TV. So we'll talk to him at 3:45. Brian Barnhart, Illinois play-by-play. We'll go behind enemy lines for the big Houston-Illinois matchup coming up a little bit later. And look, it's a Friday show on a Thursday. We are live from St. Arnold. Come hang out with us. Watch the Astros opening day. That new score bug makes it hard to see what's going on at the game. But it looks like it's still the leadoff man. Is this still Neto?
No, Neto got out.
Oh, there's the out. I see the out. Okay, good. I hate Zach Neto.
Well, he's the guy who threw a tantrum last year, right?
Yes. I hate the shortstops in this division, other than Jeremy Pena, of course. I hate Corey Seager. Cannot stand him.
Fair.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's more respect there. Dodger, okay. Like, has had success, has had the Astros number. So that one's more of like I hate him because I respect him because he's really good. And he seems to terrorize the Astros. So it's kind of like a sports hate respect thing. Like, I always had that with Jeter, always had that with Jordan. Although they're great, it's just like I hate you because you're so good. I hate Zach Neto, and I cannot stand Jacob Wilson.
Already?
We mean
this
already.
This is from last year.
He played last year.
Well, no,
he's a little Bush League trying to run in and get obstruction calls.
I know.
A little Bush League.
It is Bush
piece
League.
Of Jacob Wilson.
Ooh, that got close.
I can't stand that dude.
Spicy Branham.
I can't stand that dude. Didn't they throw at him after that? I think they threw at him like later in the year
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think they went high and in on him later in the year because he tried to pull Bush League antics by running around third and trying to clock Isak. That's Bush League stuff. You should have drilled him in the ribcage, and I think they did later, actually. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We probably might.
That's the I wanted to take the shot in the ribs, not in the butt.
I think that was from Jacob Wilson.
Yeah,
I think that was the genesis of that drop. But come hang out with us. If you swing on by whenever we're on commercial break and you tell us the answer of when St. Arnold's was founded and then also answer an Astro trivia question, you're going to get $50 gift card for St. Arnold's. Like, that is fantastic. That is awesome. And I'm going to give you those losing plays the Rockets made yesterday when I come back. 713-780-ESPN. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN975, Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's watching things at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN975 and 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN975. This is
Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. Mike Trout just stole second base and didn't break everything.
Wow.
It's a miracle.
Probably his one for the year.
Right.
Then he doesn't get hurt.
Getting out of the way on opening days. I'm good. I've hit my quota.
Yeah, it's tomorrow when he gets hurt in the game.
Good for the year.
Saturday. I don't know if they play tomorrow or not.
Yeah. If he'll play?
No. Do they play tomorrow?
We literally just said that the Angels are and Astros are on Apple TV.
That's right.
On the Friday broadcast. You know, if you weren't distracted.
They have a four-game series, yeah.
I closed it. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's not here on my tabs.
There you go. A little punchy. Get out of the first. That works. Congratulations to Jason. Won the $50 gift card to St. Arnold. That's outstanding. That's good. Good to see him.
We got a hat as well, so if anyone wants to come by, answer the same trivia question, we can do that.
They gave you two hats to give away and you decided to keep one?
I bought one.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough. So here are just a few examples of the losing basketball the Astros played yesterday. I'll begin. I already mentioned the whole little like block by Alpi Shingun, which is a great play by Alpi. He wasn't the one that turned it over. Like whenever I criticize this, that little sleeper Rockets guy, who I don't know who he is because he hides behind, you know, an account. Like the sleeper Astros guy, he'll show his face from time to time. I kind of like that guy. The sleeper Rockets guy, I really don't know enough about him, to be honest. But he just, you know, he came to me yesterday. He's like, you know, you're an old man, like get off my lawn kind of guy, which I admit, I understand that I am that. I appreciate winning basketball, not losing basketball. I appreciate teams who don't turn it over versus teams who do turn it over. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. We view games differently. Like that's all that's our impasse. You're willing to condone turnovers as long as there's a highlight on the other end of it. I don't want to have a turnover.
Yep.
We view games differently. It's just the way it is, and I understand that. I respect your opinion, and I don't care if you respect mine, quite frankly. It's a good catch there, Brenham. So, like, that one play. But the other plays, how about the baseline out-of-bounds play on the final possession of the game to try to win it? Like, go. What are they doing? Kevin Durant doesn't get a screen at all, just runs to the corner. He immediately gets double-teamed. No one's defending the ball, so they have an extra man. Jabari just pops up high. Alpi's just kind of like in no man's land doing this number. Reed Sheppard kind of goes behind him but doesn't create an angle for a pass. There's nowhere for a man to throw the basketball to, which leads to the deflection. Clock starts, can't even get up a shot. And then Alpi Shingun's doing this number like, what are you doing, man? Like that's where the Ime haters have a point. Because that might have been the worst design baseline out-of-bounds play that I've seen all season. They don't do anything.
Maybe. But
there's zero screens.
But they have so many of them. Like,
right.
This happens all the time. Where like they are terrible at designing plays to get guys open on an inbounds pass. It's always a struggle. And it doesn't matter if it's Amen, Alpi, Tari, whoever's inbounding the ball. They're bad at it. And frankly, that's where...
But there's no outlet there.
No, there's nothing.
There's no one. There's nowhere to throw the ball. They had zero screens. Mm-hmm. They have zero movement. They're all just popping to an area. And wisely, Minnesota's playing 5-on-4. They're not even defending the inbound. So there's nowhere for Amin to throw the basketball to. Does Amin make a bad decision? I don't know. Like, that was probably the best opportunity he had to inbound the basketball.
Well, if he doesn't throw it there, he's probably getting a 5-second violation.
Right.
Like it's a poor design.
Terrible design.
That's one where, like, I agree with you. The Ime haters, validated. Very validated in that moment. To have no one, and I've talked about this before, they don't set aggressive screens. They're so lazy.
Yeah, they miss Adams there.
Yeah, we're just like, no one is open. No one's doing anything easy. You should be able to find one guy. The Rockets seem like they are the worst team at inbounding the basketball in critical situations of any good team. The NBA.
I don't know what that concept is. Like, go back and watch the play. Like, it is just, it's blah. It's like a blur. It's like, we don't know what we're going to do here. We're just going to see if we can get open, and we're not. And then we're going to create a turnover, and I think it's a foul ball. Yeah.
Okay.
Look,
okay, so I have a question for you on that play.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up. If we went to last night's game, and we subbed out the entire Rockets roster and coach for Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs,
make those comparisons.
Because I think they do.
Yeah,
I think Kelvin Sampson and the Houston Cougars can get a ball in bounds better than the Rockets.
I hope you're right.
Like, it's that's how bad the Rockets are.
I mean, there's that legendary play against Purdue last year. Well, I mean, that's not fair to say. I mean, Kelvin's a finalist for Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
And like, he should get in. But
I think he would have been a very successful NBA coach, too, and almost had that opportunity and did. He was an interim for a little bit for Mikkel.
But I think a college team could get that ball in bounds. The bad teams in the NBA, can figure out plays for that. The Rockets just can't for whatever reason. They cannot
get. Yeah, but it's any brand of basketball. It's not like, oh, because you're pros, this is bad. It would have passed in college. It's a bad set.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad set at any level. So, like, that's an example of a losing play. I don't think that a winning team allows a big run after they're dominating. Like, you put your foot on the gas a little bit. You put your foot on the neck of the throat of the snake, and you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
8-second violation. You miss a couple open looks, a couple turnovers mixed in, and then Minnesota made every single shot. So, like, that's a sign of losing basketball. Another sign of losing basketball is whenever players don't have a real good idea of what's a better shot or a better opportunity to play, right? Like, yesterday, and it was like halfway during the game. It wasn't even, like, in crunch time. The Rockets create a turnover. Great. Good defense. There's a 3-on-2 fast break, and Jabari Smith takes it upon himself to say, you know what? I'm going to lead the fast break, and I'm going to be the guy that goes to the basket to try to get a finish. Brother, that's not your game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's a sign of losing basketball. You know what the winning teams do? The winning teams know their roles. If Jabari Smith in this example is going to find a guard, and then if he gets it back for a dunk, he gets it back for a dunk. Jabari Smith should not be dribbling. Jabari Smith should not be trying to be a playmaker. The fact that he thinks he can do that means that they have not established his role, and that's a sign of losing basketball.
It's a play that I would think of more should be happening in the Silas era.
Yeah.
Where you have a bad basketball team, young players, just kind of doing whatever they want. Not in an era where you're trying to be a top three seed in the Western Conference and make a playoff push.
Right.
That play is in the wrong era of Rockets basketball. Too much of that's just continued over into this one.
Yeah. So that's an example. My last one, there was a play. The Rockets were on defense. And there was a drive, and Alpe's defending Rudy Gobert. And, like, the ball gets stopped about halfway into the paint, like halfway from the baseline, in the middle of the baseline of the free throw line. And I forget who was the ball handler, but he gets stopped. He kind of gets double teamed, like looking for an outlet to pass the ball. And there's a player in the corner, and there's Rudy Gobert underneath the rim. And for some reason, Alpe Şengün sprints to defend the guy in the corner, leaving Rudy Gobert wide open. And the dude who was trapped is like, oh, okay, thank you. Lobs it over the top to Gobert, who catches the ball for an easy slam. How do you make that stupid of a mistake?
I don't know.
How do you leave the stifle tower right in the middle of the lane wide open, where all he has to do is catch the ball and put it in, when you sprint to the corner? It's just low basketball IQ on this team.
100%.
Losing plays.
Yeah. Are you critical of Alpe at all on the play that he crossed up Rudy and then got blocked? Or is that just a good play by Rudy Gobert?
I'm having difficulty remembering that exactly.
It was like in the fourth quarter, I think it was. He crossed him up good, but then Rudy recovered really well. I was just like, how do you cross up Rudy Gobert and then not get an easy shot?
Well, Rudy's greater recovering.
Know, but it just reminds me how probably slow Alpe can be at times.
Yeah, but Rudy Gobert is, like, you know, a defensive, all-defensive team pretty
he is.
Annually. So yeah. It's hard for me to blame Alpe on that.
But, no, you're right. They just make losing basketball plays all the time.
Bunch of losers.
And I don't know what the fix is. I don't think a point guard fixes all these losing plays. Maybe enough to where you don't lose last night's game.
Oh, I don't think there is a fix.
Like, you lost the game by 2 points. So, like, maybe you win last night's game if you have a Fred on your roster and playing. But anything meaningful past that, I don't think so.
Yeah. Junkie, please stop talking about the Rockets. You're ruining my opening day. Can you ask Joe to recite the quadratic formula? I need a laugh after this depressing Rockets talk.
Nope.
Early on, I thought Fred Van Vliet. He said FVF. Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah, that's probably what he thinks it is.
Coming back would fix everything, but that's not going to do it. What do the Rockets need to do to fix this roster for next season? They probably have to go all in with Giannis.
Yep.
Corey said, I thought that was KD.
He's
yeah, KD.
Right. Corey's right.
Oh, okay. I do remember
that.
That's
right.
Maybe that's why I was getting confused.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Yeah. Good shooters usually don't get their shots blocked. So, like, it was like Kevin Durant's committed to taking the shot. Probably knew it about halfway up that I shouldn't have done it. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to allow Kevin Durant to live with a few plays like that because he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. It's Giannis is probably the easiest answer. I think there's going to have to be more we explore in the offseason of just, like, if he only wants to go to the Knicks, then how do you pivot elsewhere?
Yeah.
So Giannis is the obvious answer to how do you fix this roster and how do you improve this team title chances for next season, but it might not be available to you. We just don't know how it's going to play out with the Bucks just yet.
Junkie says challenge flag. It was KD, not Şengün. You're right.
Joe's dumb.
You upheld your challenge. I meant Van Vliet, all capital letters, voice to text. I mean, did Siri pick you up? Like, did Siri? Hold on a second. How did you mean Van Vliet with voice to text when you said FVF? You're lying. Challenge flag. I caught you in a lie. You didn't say Van Vliet. Because if you were voice-to-texting, why did it send the acronym? Why did it say FVF? And now you're saying you meant Van Vliet? No, you didn't. You're lying to me. Don't lie to us. We'll catch you in your lies. I sniffed that out a mile away.
Well, that's what you're here for.
Come on. Pete, at the current rate, the Rockets will have a worse record than last year and will get bounced quickly in the first round. Hard to dispute that. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Apollo is joining us. Apollo, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What is up, Apollo?
Sports fellas, double rides. Happy Astros opening day to all that celebrate. I am going to make a quick analogy for the Rockets' offensive struggles, let's just call them that. I am a lifelong Philadelphia Eagles fan because my mom's side, they're all from Philly, so that's who I grew up kind of watching. But last year, watching the Eagles offense with all the superstar talent they had on offense, but how abysmal they were and just could not put it together and put and string together some good offensive performances in a row, that is what the that's what the Rockets offense is right now. Very good talent on the team, but they just cannot scheme anybody open or anything like that. So let me know what you guys think about that.
I actually think that's really interesting. I mean, we know the Eagles last year had, what, two games where they didn't complete a pass in the second half of a game, and you have A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and you can't do anything, and they fell apart, and what do? They replaced their offensive coordinator. That's what I think the Rockets need to do. They don't have to fire Ime. But he's got to bring in somebody new on the staff that's going to bring in some kind of idea of just how to fix the offense.
Yeah.
He is a good coach, but his offense is kind of stale, and he hasn't been able to figure out with this group what's wrong. And even if you add someone like Giannis to it, there's still going to be major deficiencies within the Rockets' offense if he's running it as currently is.
I've tried to I've tried not to get there. Like honestly, I've tried not to get there with Ime. But I think I am there. And you know what I think pushed me over the hill? And not to fire, to do what your idea is. Like, bring in an offense coordinator, for lack of a better way to say that. You know, bring in an offensive mind to be on your bench. You're number one, number two. Like, okay, you're ROC. You're bringing in offensive creativity for us. I like that idea. I want that idea. I haven't really been all the way there on that idea until that baseline out-of-bounds play yesterday.
Oh, that's the final straw?
Joe, go back and watch the play.
It's awful.
Like, it's I don't know what they were thinking.
I mean, he just lobs at Jabari, and no one's open. No one's doing anything. And especially when you have KD being double-teamed like that in the corner, you would think somewhere
else.
But
he runs into the double team. Like, but it's also on Durant.
So that almost makes me feel, in a way, not an excuse, but almost like that was an intended distraction of pull the double team into the corner.
But the double team's coming from the ball handler. It's coming from the inbounder.
Yeah, but then have three other guys who you know, like, you're not going to have the guy on a men on the inbounds pass, and someone else should get open.
This is what annoys me about these aggregators. Like, I'm trying to go back and find this baseline out-of-bounds play, and all you see on the aggregators are, like, highlights. Like, oh, what a great game Kevin Durant had. What a great game Alpi Şengün had. Oh, what a great block by Alpi Şengün. Oh, what a great dunk by Kevin Durant. Why don't y'all tell me the truth?
How about that bloody lip?
Like, this is what's wrong with aggregators. Like, I'm pro-aggregator. Like, I like aggregator. I think they do good stuff, blah, 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 blah. I don't love, like, the Dove Climens of the world. I have him muted. But, like, I like the local aggregators. Like, give my information in one, but tell the whole story. Like, you're being a little bit of the opposite of Chandler Rome, you know?
Yeah, I think they know, like, the negativity doesn't play for them. They only want to gas up the idiots.
Yeah, but I think you get taken serious. I know that it's not going to help the clicks and the engagement numbers, but I think you get taken more seriously.
When you post everything.
I think.
No, I agree.
And, look, maybe you don't get more likes on those, but maybe you get more credibility, and maybe you do get more followers.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it gives you that just – You can tell they're being honest with putting everything out there. But, no, they only post the good stuff. So it's not surprising. But, yeah, that was one of the worst out-of-bounds plays, like you said, all season.
I'm trying to just go from memory. But you had Kevin Durant on the near side of the floor.
Yep.
That just kind of migrates to the corner into the face of a double team. Mm-hmm. Jabari pops up high to the left slot without an angle. Alpi Şengün kind of goes baseline right block and just stands there. And then Reed Sheppard goes behind him like Alpi's his blocking fullback without creating any sort of passing lane. And there's zero screens. How are you going to get open?
That's where it comes down to the coaching.
You're not going to get open when you lollygag to a spot, and you're not going to get open without a screen. You have to either sprint or you have to create some separation.
Here we go.
Yeah, like Alpe, like Kevin Durant just goes into the corner and double team.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly, yeah, I remembered it correctly. Look at that. What, like, what are they doing?
Like, Alpe is literally standing still.
He's doing nothing.
And Reed goes into the corner.
Maybe Alpe's supposed to set this screen, creating an angle for Reed,
but
he doesn't.
Where if even if a man tries to get to Reed here, this defender that's on Alpe right there, he's just deflecting that ball out of bounds.
There's nothing that a man can do from where he passes it in. There's zero passing lanes.
Yeah, that play's not on a man.
No.
That play's on Ime.
And maybe Alpe missed the screen. Maybe
sure.
Alpe's supposed to screen Reed's man to get him a look in the corner. But
yeah,
because
you can
ignores
see
him.
He kind of like takes a step towards, like, it's maybe the laziest screen in the history of basketball.
Maybe that's why they hate Alpe.
Like, if that's a screen, and then he's put his hands up, like.
And he's blaming him in. Yeah, that actually ticked me off. I'm glad you mentioned that, because he throws his hands in there like, what are you doing,
that's
man?
Why, that's
what are
why
y'all doing? He has nobody to throw it to.
No, even how the Rockets got to the position, they got the one foul that got Naz Reid ejected from the game.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a foul, but it could have gone either way. But even then, like, Alpe, his first reaction is not see what the ref says. It's look up and throw my hands up in the air. Like, that's a foul.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's just so whiny.
I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday say, like, I don't like the body language after the Alpe Şengün blocked the Senator overtime, because, like, nobody goes and gives him any love.
Yeah.
Like, he runs and blocks, makes this heroic play, unbelievable play, and no one, like, goes up to, like, really high-five him. Like, Durant, like, kind of slaps him a little bit, and Reed kind of gives him a little bit of a high-five, but everybody else mostly ignores him. Where it seems like there could be some dissent.
No,
seems like there could be.
We talked about it. Was it last week we talked about Perkins saying that?
Yeah, he did.
But the bad body language. And at first I kind of pushed back. But
yeah, Durant.
Seeing moments like that where I'm like, he's kind of onto something here.
Durant
maybe.
Went to the press conference after they won the next game. He's like, did we have any bad body language? It's like, okay, yeah, it looks like you do. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're at St. Arnold watching the game. Good spot for a cold beer. Will Kunkel's videoing us without our consent. That's a lawsuit. Whenever we come back, though, fear-mongering Chandler Rome is back. We'll discuss that next. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. After I win all that money in my lawsuit with Will Kunkel for him filming me without my consent, you know what I'm going to do with all that extra money? I'm going to go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort, but the joke's on you. It doesn't cost a whole lot to go out there. That's what makes them fantastic. Love Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They are the best. Best weekend idea for you, best Monday through Friday. You're looking for a few days during the spring, during the summer, to take a few days off, take the family, look no further than Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Always taking care of you. Look what they have coming up in April. April is awesome out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They got a little Easter weekend, the first weekend of April, the crawfish boil, third anniversary of it, fajitas and Rita's cook-off the week after that, spring fishing tournament, and a chuck wagon dinner on that final weekend of April. Nothing but great times out of Two Creeks Crossing Resort. That water park coming soon, too. Blue Bayou Bend opening May 1st. The grand opening is May 9th. And it's just 90 minutes from Houston. These lines at TSA, you don't want anything to do with that. These gas prices, you don't want to drive all the way across the state. Go to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's an hour and a half away from downtown. 92 acres for you to explore. Water for you to kayak. The Two Creeks. The catch and release pond if you want to do a little fishing. Teach the kids how to fish too, and they got all the stays you can want. They got glamping, they got a waterfront cabins, they have a lot of waterfront cabins, the tree house, you walk up into the cabin, it's in the tree, or if you already have an RV, just pull up that bad boy too. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the St. Arnold Beer Garden. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Ryan Spielborgs will be joining us here shortly, analyst for tomorrow's Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. I'm a fan of the Apple TV games. I hate that we lose our shin guys, our friends Todd Callis. Jeff Blum was on with Dell earlier today. But I do like the production of Apple TV. I think they do a good job.
Remember, it was really bad that first year?
I actually argued for it. I didn't like the broadcasters, but I liked the picture, and I liked the production value.
Yeah, but now I like it. I like it a lot. It's one of those things where I have to remind myself that for Friday to resubscribe to Apple TV.
Oh.
Because I cancel it.
See, we like a bunch of shows on Apple TV.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of those yet.
Yeah, Apple TV's got some good shows.
I might just have to use this as an excuse.
Well,
start watching
what them. I would recommend is that you just, while you have Apple TV during baseball season, you just watch the shows as you have.
What's the best one you said?
There's a lot. The morning show is very good.
Okay.
What's the one with the guy who looks like Tom Cruise, Michael Scott? It's not Inception. Is it Inception?
You're talking about Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, not Michael Scott.
Severance.
Adam Scott.
Severance.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm terrible at names. I remember things very poorly.
I was lost.
I knew the show he was talking about, so it just took me a second.
Michael Scott's not a real character. It's a character.
First, when you said Michael Scott, I was like, wait, you're talking about the HBO show Rooster? Because Steve Carell's in that.
Have you started that?
No. I'm watching DTF right now.
Oh, I can't do it. It looks so stupid.
I want to watch Rooster first, and then I'm going to watch DTF.
David Harbour.
I'm not going to watch that show. I will not do it.
Next time you're on.
I can't. The script is like, I can't get into the script. The script sounds so stupid. So stupid. Can't do it.
But it's a great cast.
Did you try it?
So what?
But I lost
my other trailer.
A good cast, well, that's fair, but a good cast can make a bad script. Good. They can make it work.
Yeah, maybe in a comedic value sense, but not really like in a drama.
Is it a drama?
It's both. David Harbour's more comedy in his part, and then everything else around it is like crime mystery and drama.
A lot of people like Ted Lasso. Lasso's on the morning or on Apple TV, which I think is okay. I don't think it's great. I think it's okay.
Well, they're coming back for another season, right?
Yeah, the morning show I think is unbelievably good.
I've heard very good things.
That'll
probably be the first one I watch when I do it.
We're watching Shrinking right now too. Shrinking
I've also heard good things,
which is good. It's not. I would give it like a 6-8. Maybe 7-2, somewhere in that range. But for a comedy, that's pretty high for me. I don't grade comedies that high.
And this will be a good test for our relationship of just like how much I trust you with your TV viewing.
Yeah, the morning show is awesome.
Brandon, have you started that new show by Vince Gilligan?
What's it called?
I think it's called Pluribus.
I haven't.
It's the actress that's the main female lead in Better Call Saul.
Okay. I haven't watched it.
Ray Seahorn, I think, is her name.
Okay. It didn't really catch my eye.
Okay.
I watched the trailer on that. It didn't really catch my eye.
Okay.
I am interested to watch the Michael Scott one, though. That one's on our list.
Adam Scott.
No, Michael Scott.
Steve Carell. Rooster.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that one looks good. That one looks good.
He just confused us by saying Michael Scott again.
I remember things in very broad ways.
Steve Carell.
I'm kind of sick in the head, so I remember things in very broad ways. And not very specific at all.
You like a Jim Harbaugh. Went to Michigan.
I know. Yeah.
Trick to remember Steve Carell.
What is that called? It's not a mnemonic device, is it? Is that a mnemonic device?
I think you're right.
Mnemonic device?
I think so.
I thought it's not. A mnemonic device isn't where you create an acronym to mean it. I thought that was mnemonic.
I think you're right. I think you have to do an acronym and that makes it work.
Right? Or is it just something to make it
learn? Like the way people like
or,
that.
Oh, actually, it could be anything. Mnemonic devices are memory techniques such as acronyms, imagery, or rhymes.
That was a very Brad Keller moment.
Designed to help the brain encode and recall information. Yeah, I work well with mnemonic devices. It helps people that are sick in the head. we're going to be joined. Hopefully Ryan Spielborgs isn't listening into this conversation.
He might have just hung up.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that's jabronis.
These idiots.
This is what Houston has to offer? Yeah, but there's three radio stations. You have to understand that. 713-780-ESPN. No score, bottom of the second. Hunter Brown got out of trouble again. He's had a runner at second in both of the first two innings.
Yeah, 43 pitches.
Walked the leadoff batter in the second inning.
So yeah. I think his last spring start, he was at 83. So we could be like short Hunter Brown start today, which tests the bullpen right away in the first game.
That's kind of who he is, though. Like, that's his MO. Like, he throws a lot of pitches. He's not a guy who goes 7-8 innings into games very often.
That's why he hasn't touched 200 innings yet.
That's why some people who have and that's why it's important to him. And also, some people talk about like the whole ace versus like number one thing. And some people argue that Hunter Brown's not an ace yet. He's a number one because he doesn't log like a bunch of game logs where he has 7 or 8 innings.
Yeah, that's
which
fair.
I don't think that's fair.
I
think he's an ace.
Well, I think it just depends on your standard of ace. I heard the Locked On Astros guys talking about earlier. I think it was Brett said there's two aces.
Okay, Joey.
In baseball.
That's it?
Skubal and Skeens.
There's only two. Well, Skeens didn't look like an ace today.
Well, see, I want to give him a pass, though.
Well, WBC?
No, because O'Neill Cruz sucks at baseball.
Is horrible. Yeah.
He's so bad.
He's like a better version of Jesus Sanchez. He's like a souped-up version of Jesus Sanchez.
Except he has no idea when the ball's in the air where to go.
As I was saying, he's like Jesus Sanchez.
He is the hardest hit balls of all time.
How bad was he in the infield, though, where they decided he should then play outfield?
I thought he was fine.
Well, outfield's easier to play than infield.
Sure. I just wonder how bad he was in the infield, where they can live with this in the outfield.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's, and then we'll see. I would say it's still like Garrett Cole, if healthy, and Hunter Brown's like right on the cusp. If you have a super high standard, for Ace. And I think for some people it's 200 innings, the ERA where Hunter Brown has had it at is fine. He's just missing the total of innings in his career to get there.
That's an interesting standard, you know. I don't know. I feel like you have to kind of move the goalpost from what it used to be.
Sure.
Because it's kind of the modern generation of baseball where everybody's hunting strikeouts, where it's very hard to log 220 innings. It's hard to log 200 innings.
Yeah.
Because everybody's looking for the Ks, which leads to, you know, pitches out of the zone, which leads to a bunch of pitches.
It's a little antiquated at this point. Like, I would guess it's a very small number of pitchers that threw 200 innings last year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So it's very different than it used to be. But I think now for, you know, those elite guys, you expect them to do that. And we've talked about that with Hunter Brown. If he wants to win a Cy Young this year, that's going to help him a lot.
That's a loud train.
It's all day.
If you're looking for a high-quality TV show to watch, it doesn't get much better than the USA Network hit Burn Notice. I think that's Ocho.
That's Ryan.
That's Ryan?
Yeah.
That's a repeat joke.
I thought it was Ocho's
no,
joke.
No, it's Ryan Lost in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know.
He loves Burn Notice.
Is he being serious, or is that his
I don't know.
I think he's being very serious.
Like, is there a good show? Like, is USA Network produce good shows? Like, I don't think that they do.
I liked White Collar.
What? I prefer
Matt,
White Collar's
Matt
Blue.
Bomber.
I'm with you. The only show I remember USA ever making that was quality was Mr. Robot.
What about Suits?
I never watched Suits.
But I think Suits actually went to a different network like halfway through its
did
run.
It? Yeah.
I think it did.
And then
I love Mr. Robot, but like it fell off after a couple seasons.
No.
And then the Suits LA bombed after 1 year.
Yeah, USA Network's not known for their television.
No.
Other than Monday Night Raw.
That's not even their production.
That doesn't count.
That's not even their show.
I know.
It's like, here you go. You can buy airtime. Actually, I don't even know. Like, they buy the airtime now, right? Don't they buy?
Yes, they buy it.
Like,
yeah.
They buy their programming to show on their network?
Yeah, they pay
that's
for
what
it.
I thought.
It's just like media rights.
Yeah. Astros get nothing in the second. Joey Loperfido got on base, but that's it. Went the other way. Little Joey Loperfido learned
little
how to. Oppo. Somebody learned how to putt.
Ben Fifth.
Loperfido learned how to putt. Anyways, Fearmonger Rome is back.
I like Rome.
In his latest article, because Jeremy Pena made the opening day roster, but he's not playing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that the Major League Baseball IL rules, though, if you start the season on the IL, you have to miss 10 days. And we know that the Astros and Dana Brown and Joe Espada, they always err on the side of like you better. Like, not you better. They're not telling them what to do. But they always would have a guy on the bench for 5 days if he can play 5 days, rather start the guy on the 10-day IL and then miss 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, they rather just keep their guy on the roster if there's a chance for him to come back during the window. I couldn't find if you could retroactive it in spring.
So, I did see this, where the Cubs did this.
Oh, they did do it. Okay,
they put retroactive to March 22nd. So, that's why I was a little surprised today.
So, you can retroactive it.
Yeah, where it's
see,
like.
I didn't know the answer to that.
If he was just going to not play the first three games of the season and play in Sugarland, why didn't you retroactive back to the injury? Maybe it was past 10 days and that's why they couldn't do it. I don't remember exactly when he got hurt, which I guess it was like 2-3 weeks ago. At this point, so maybe it missed that window to where you could do a 10-day stint?
I don't know.
But it makes way more sense to have him in game action in Sugarland versus just having him take live BP in Sugarland and not with the team.
That's interesting to me, though, because I couldn't find the answer to that. I started to doubt myself. I thought that you could retroactive it, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
I asked Google, but Google AI I don't trust in sports.
It's pretty bad.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. So the Cubs did do that. So I guess it is possible. But maybe there's like some sort of hiccup with Pena coming back to play in a game that might – I don't know. Like, I couldn't find the rule on it. I actually did search that this morning.
Yeah, it just – I thought he was going to be in the lineup today after the home run and being up there playing – what I think he played his full six innings.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he was asked about what he felt. He's like, yeah, I don't feel like my timing's quite there yet. It's better than I thought it would be, but it's not there yet. And also, like – context matters. Like, we have a tendency of overrating things where the context might be different. Like, there are two variables into a guy hitting a home run, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the guy literally doing it, and then there's also the pitch that you hit, right? And the pitch that he hit was a hanging breaking ball. Like, it's the easiest, and I know that home runs are hard, but that's the easiest, like, pitch to get that you're ever going to hit a home run on. So, like, the fact that he put that one in the Crawford boxes and hit it very, very far, okay, great. Like, love that. Love that for you. But it was a hanging breaker where, like, good hitters make the pitchers.
Yes, they're going to punish you.
They're going to punish you for that mistake. So I thought it was more, I guess, relevant that Jeremy Pena said that his timing wasn't quite there than the home run.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
we freak
right.
out about the home run. He's back. And I tweeted it, too. But then Pena's like, yeah, my timing's not quite there yet. I was like, okay, well, I trust that more than I trust the guy hitting a hanging breaking ball for a bomb.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd see him today. But, you know.
Still might.
The infield surplus was not untenable for today, at least.
Wasn't untenable.
Yeah.
Which Rome's back on that. He's back on his fear-mongering. I think he was happy that Pena made the team so he could fear-monger that the infield surplus is an issue again. In his article, I don't see things that he tweets anymore because he blocked me on Twitter.
Yep.
That's soft, boy. But anyways, he said, Paredes now has no obvious path to regular playing time unless manager Joe Espada changes his hardline stance on limiting Yordan Alvarez to everyday designated hitter duties. All right, so he fearmongers twice here. The first one is Isak Paredes is going to play regularly as long as he is hitting. And I think that the lineup today is actually an example of this. Isak Paredes is hitting in the cleanup spot,
mm-hmm.
or the three spot. He's hitting third or fourth. I can't remember. Anyways, he's hitting third or fourth. And you know where Christian Walker's batting? Seventh. He's hitting below Lo Perfido and below Cam Smith. So you're going to tell me that Isak Paredes, who they love offensively, they like way more than Christian Walker, who's hitting either three or fourth today, I can't remember, and Christian Walker's hitting seventh, and you're telling me that Isak Paredes, their three-hole hitter on opening day, doesn't have a path to regular playing time? Why are we being so idiotic about this?
Yeah, like if he was batting seventh instead of Christian Walker, you could go, oh, well, they must not feel great about him right now, but he's batting third. Like I do think this is largely what you're going to see with the lineup. I almost just kind of wonder if it just moves down one with Pena.
Everybody just slots down.
Yeah,
spot.
You go Pena, Altuve, Alvarez, and Paredes is batting fourth versus third today. Like, and Joe Loperfido is batting sixth.
Loperfido takes terrible angles on baseballs, by the way. He's gonna make diving plays that I'm going to poo-poo all over. I'm going to get crushed.
You're going to get crushed.
I already know what's going to happen.
You're going to get roasted.
Loperfido makes diving catches on like 80% catch probability.
I mean, that was the first game of his career. He made an incredible catch, but it really wasn't an incredible catch.
Yeah, you pulled the catch probability. I think it was like 75%.
Yeah, but you had to go dive for it.
Like a decent left fielder walks to it and makes the catch under. He's underneath it.
You're going to get more traction from Joe Loperfido than Astros lineups this year.
Maybe.
That's my prediction.
Maybe Sleeper Astros could call you a miserable loser.
I lost my password into that behind paywall thing, though. I used to have a behind the paywall that I wasn't supposed to have, but I had it, where I could pull up the catch probability as it is happening.
Okay.
And I lost the password to it, so I don't have a way to buy back in my way into it.
He's going to ask for it again?
No, probably not. Because I wasn't supposed to have it. They wouldn't give it to me. No, they wouldn't. They're like, you're not privy to this. But yeah, you're right. But please, like, it's not going to matter.
Shout out to Jaime in our YouTube chat. Has the Chandler Rome Twitter profile picture.
Oh, it's so good.
I like that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I love a good bit.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I like a leader Rome that shows up in our Twitch chat every now and then, too. The last part of this fearmonger Rome was that last sentence. Joe Espada changing his hardline stance on limiting Yordan Alvarez to everyday designated hitter duties. Joe Espada 2 weeks ago said he'd been trying to tell the media all offseason that Yordan's going to play left. Like, that's verbatim.
Yeah.
That's verbatim. So, like, what do you're cherry-picking quotes that you want to listen to. Like, you're cherry-picking quotes that you want to use. And it's not a hard-line stance on limiting Yordan to everyday designated hitter duties. Majority, I'll give you. But everyday, no. And Joe Espada, quite frankly, and very literally said, I've been trying to tell the media that Yordan's going to play left. Two weeks later, here we go. Unless Joe Espada changes his hard-line stance on Yordan being an everyday DH. Fearmonger Rome.
He is. He's fearmongering.
Why are we
big time.
Falling for this fearmonger?
I don't know.
Unbelievable.
There's dummies out there. They're not junkies, so they're not super smart.
Yeah. Brian Barnhart's going to join us at 4:15. When we come back, what is the best and worst case scenario for the Astros pitching staff this year? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from St. Arnold on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Your contenders are picked, the upsets are looming, and yet you still haven't decided where you're going to watch the games. Twin Peaks is the number one seed for the tournament. Every game on wall-to-wall TVs, 29-degree drafts from tip-off to overtime, Miller Lite, Coors Lite, pretty much whatever you want to get, and every scratch made bite makes the highlight reel. And that's not the only thing right now. Twin Peaks Shenandoah has officially elevated its guest experience with the opening of a new state-of-the-art cigar bar, 18310 North Highway in Shenandoah, Texas. You got over 60 premium cigar brands, plus your 29-degree craft beers and beers on tap. Excellent time. I love a good cigar bar. I cannot wait to get out to Shenandoah for the first time to go to a Twin Peaks and check out the cigar bar as well. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.